Take a break from your busy schedule and join Harold Sala for Guidelines for Living.
Peter Sador got a hole-in-one at the Panorama Village Golf Course where he often played. It wasn't his first either. Actually, it was his 18th career hole-in-one, something which golfers recognize is not an everyday occurrence by a long shot. Neither did Peter, age 83, realize it would be his last hole-in-one either. One hole later, he collapsed from an aneurysm in his brain and was pronounced dead upon arrival at a local hospital. There was no other way he would have wanted it, said Sador's son Dennis, adding, maybe God wanted him to do it one more time before taking him. Without being presumptuous, I'm still waiting for God to want me to get my first hole-in-one. But then it's pretty possible that Peter played a lot more golf than I have. Hooray, number 18, Peter said as he lifted his ball from the hole. What a way to go, bagging that coveted hole-in-one. I do know one thing for sure. Whether or not you ever get your first or 18th hole-in-one, there will come a time when you've played your last round, something that most of us never like to think about. I thought a lot about the way people respond to both death and dying. A lot of people live in complete denial. They never mention death, even when it comes to making provision for the family left behind, passing on their possessions to family and loved ones. They assume that to talk about it might make it happen, so they avoid the subject. If we believe that matters of life and death are of importance to our Heavenly Father and are all part of the cycle of life, there's no reason not to talk about them. Long ago, the psalmist wrote, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." If I were going to Buckingham Palace and were to have an audience with the Queen, believe me, I'd talk about it. You can be sure of that. I'd want to know what to wear, what to say, how to conduct myself. Should we be less concerned about our entrance into the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Writing to the Philippians, Paul made a powerful statement. He said he pressed on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Question: did Paul have a kind of special thing going between him and God? Or does God lay hold on every life because he wants certain things accomplished in the span of our walk here on earth? If you believe the Bible, you must acknowledge that God has a purpose and a will for every person. And that means he wants you to accomplish certain things between now and when you draw your last breath. A final thought. God doesn't always give you a nudge, prodding you to get moving on that agenda or list of accomplishments. Like sand that quietly slips through the hourglass, the days of our lives fly by quickly. And when you've made your first hole-in-one, or you've never had time to get to the course, our days are numbered. Can you say with the Apostle Paul, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." The driving force of Paul's life was not to get to the top, not to be remembered for his exploits or achievements, but rather to accomplish everything that God wanted him to do. God has a purpose and a will for every one of his children, and that will is knowable. That is why Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, "Don't be ignorant, but understand what is the will of God." You can live God's will day by day.
You've just heard Guidelines for Living. If you would like to hear more encouraging devotionals and stories of changed lives around the world, visit guidelines.org. That's also where you can join the Guidelines team in delivering the life-changing message of Jesus. Go to guidelines.org to see how you can impact the world with the hope of the gospel. Thanks for listening, and join us again next time for Guidelines for Living.